everyone, this is Jamie Wilford. You're listening to Rocket Fuel.
What's up and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on this episode, we have brand new music from Smoking Popes, Too Sweet, and Less Than Jake, as well as a classic track from The Descendants. Later on, I'll review the album On Parallels by Lagretia and talk with the singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Jamie Wilford from the awesome bands Animal Chin and The Stereo, and of course his current project Let Go. But up first is brand new music from one of my all-time favorites, Smoking Popes. 9 years after their last studio release of new material, the band has reunited and will be releasing a new album on August 5th. It's called Stay Down, and here's a track from it. This is If You Don't Care.
If you don't care, I don't care. We don't belong together, 'cause we don't belong anywhere. If you're not sure, in a whitewashed tomb, awaiting the hand of doom, with our tickets to some distant patch of sky, employing a few choice words, we flutter like captive birds, finally free, but still afraid.
If you don't care, I
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was the ska band Animal Chin. That was the title track from their 1997 debut album, All the Kids Agree. The band was fronted by Jamie Wolford, who I'll be talking with later on in the show. Before that, you heard Jersey's Best Prancers, The Ergs, with It'll Be Okay. That comes off of their Upstairs Downstairs record. The Ergs are currently on tour in the South and will be heading out west as well, so be sure to check them out. And now, punk rock headlines. On the heels of their recent reissues of The Replacements' Twin Tone era material comes the news that Rhino Records will be giving the deluxe reissue treatment to the band's Sire era material as well. Four of the band's major label releases are due out September 23, 2008, with 1985's Tim, 1987's Please to Meet Me, 1989's Don't Tell a Soul, and 1990's final album All Shook Down. Like the Twin Tone reissues, each album will be remastered and expanded with bonus material, including recording sessions with the Ramones' Tommy Ramone and Big Star's Alex Chilton, as well as a collaboration with Tom Waits. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania's The Dead Milkmen will headline one day of this year's Fun 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 Festival in Austin, Texas, according to a message on the Dead Milkmen's message board from drummer Dean Clean. The festival, which takes place on November 8th and 9th, will mark the second reunion since the passing of the original bassist Dave Blood. Playing bass for the band this time around is Dandrew Stevens. The band released a retrospective Now We Are 20 in 2003. Ann Beretta has announced two upcoming shows and an end to the band. The first will be on August 22nd with Weston, the band with whom Ann Beretta played their first show back in 1996. They are considering this their farewell to Richmond, as they will be playing their last show at this year's The Fest in Gainesville, Florida. The Richmond set will consist mainly of songs from Bitter Tongues, their first album. Ann Beretta rose from the ashes of fellow Richmond hardcore outfit Inquisition. Rob Huddleston, singer and guitarist, will be releasing a new album from his other band, Foundation, this year via Paper and Plastic. And finally, in light of the tragic death of bassist Johnny Shao, recent wind-up signing Tickle Me Pink has posted a statement on their future as a band. Johnny always wanted to bring purpose to other people's lives. He had a quiet leadership that lives in all of us as a band. His legacy is in his music, and every show we play, we are sharing a piece of Johnny's heart with our listeners. Not only would he want us to carry on, but we owe it to him. We have had to do some major soul-searching as a band. We have not only lost a band member, but our best friend. The process is just beginning. We will never be able to replace Johnny, but through this tragedy, we have all grown even closer and are going to make him proud. Tickle Me Pink has enlisted longtime friend Joey Barba to join them on the road as guitarist. They will be proceeding with their previously scheduled tour dates. I'd like to let the band know that we have them in our thoughts and prayers in this difficult time of their loss. Punk Rock Headlines are brought to you by my friends at punknews.org. Like a good neighbor, punknews.org is there. Up next is new music from the unsigned Chicago act, Too Sweet. Their debut album, Sleep Without Dreams, has been getting a lot of attention lately. Here is Give Me Your Gold.
Taking all the time, 'cause business is forever beauty.
And we're back here at Rocket Fuel. That was the Carpinteria, California-based band In the Red with Very Scary. The band is led by frontman Mike Hale, formerly of the well-known band Gunmole. Before that was a classic track from a band called One of 23 Bands Who Shaped Punk by Alternative Press magazine. That was The Descendants with Silly Girl. When it was announced that Jason Shevchuk, famed singer of well-respected punk bands Kid Dynamite and None More Black, had started a new band called Lagretia, there was a lot of expectations on the band. Last month, Shevchuk and bandmates Dana Berkowitz and Cel De La Quila released their debut album, On Parallels, on Suburban Home Records. After listening to the intro of their first track on the album, a song called Hey Medic, I knew that this band was different than Shevchuk's previous bands and, quite frankly, anything else I'd ever heard. Hey Medic opens with what I can only describe as a groove sound. The song mixes elements of punk with a heavy dose of classic rock. It's almost as if the band was listening to a lot of Molly Hatchet when writing the song. That may sound odd at first, but take it from me, this is an album you'll find yourself listening to over and over again. As the album progresses, each song takes other ingredients such as pop, rock, blues, and even alternative sounds, and weave them masterfully with Shevchuk's pirate-infused vocals. Standout tracks are Hey Medic, According to My Notes, which Berkowitz and De La Quila playing a driving beat that forces your toe to tap, My Lightning, and The Montage, which is an excellent closer to the album. I would also say that it would be impossible to review this album without commenting on the artwork that graces the cover and disc. Designed by bassist De La Quila, the amazing cover mixes blacks, grays, and oranges to create a piece of animals and plants flowing together. To see the cover and more of Sal's artwork, go to salvationdesign.com. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for reviews, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the album is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Lagretia's On Parallels an 8. As I said before, once you play this album all the way through, you'll find yourself hitting the repeat button to further explore the many layers of this great album. Sadly, if you want to hear more Lagretia, you'll have only the solace of your repeat button, as just before the album was released, the band called it quits due to personal relationship conflicts. On Parallels is an amazing debut album from a band we will unfortunately never get to hear from again. Think I'm off the mark with this review? Or is there an album that you think I should review? Shoot me a line at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also message me on my MySpace at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Up next is one of those standout tracks from Lagretia's On Parallels album. Here is My Lightning.
Some time ago, we get back. just dancing to the beat of a different drum. Gentle wind, oh yeah, come and blow me over. Cause I need the dramatics to bounce back from. And I'm not satisfied with the buzzing, no. I just need a new noise from a different home. Brutal wind, gonna take you to blow me over. Cause I got new dramatics to bounce back from.
We'll be right back.
was another band fronted by Jamie Wolford. This time it was The Stereo with New Tokyo Is Calling, which came off of their No Traffic album. Before that, you heard the now-defunct Denver, Colorado band The Blackout Pact. From their Jeff Rickley-produced album Hello Sailor, that was Do I Sound Like I'm on Old Time Radio? A few weeks ago, I talked with singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Jamie Wolford. He is a really cool guy and shared his thoughts with us on topics such as producing, his current and future projects, and much more. Check it out. All right, I'm here with singer, songwriter, producer Jamie Wolford. Hey, Jamie, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Doing good, man. Thanks. You've been real busy here lately with your new studio called Room Sound. What kind of projects are you working on now?
The main thing I've been kind of working on at the moment is just kind of getting my home studio a little bit more into the modern age. It's kind of upgraded some gear and stuff like that. But I have been working with a bunch of different bands still in and around town. And then, like, I just got back from Ohio, where I did a record for a band called Gene the Werewolf, which is crazy. It's like, imagine, like, Paul Stanley singing for Foreigner, but like Mr. Bungle.
It's like
the weirdest thing I've ever done. It's really, really cool. And then I did a record for the Love Blisters, or a local band from here. They sound like ELO meets Queen.
Oh, wow.
And then what else have I been doing? I recently finished the Punchline record, or 8 songs off of 12 songs for the Punchline record. And I did some stuff for the Gin Blossoms, just kind of demo stuff. And I know there's lots more, but it's kind of like, you know, when someone asks you, it's like,
right,
you can barely remember your name, you know what I mean?
Right, now I understand. Obviously, a lot of different genres of music that you've been involved with. Does that make it more challenging for you as a producer? Does that make it more exciting, or how is that?
I think it's more exciting. I mean, as long as the bands are good and they're fun people, and, you know what I mean, it's not a drag to
right.
do, you know, as long as there's not a lot of, you know, back in the day, before, you know, computers were kind of introduced, there's only a finite amount of tricks you could use to kind of take someone who wasn't good and try to make them sound good.
Right.
And now there's, you know, what's in vogue now is it doesn't really matter how good you are, you're going to make it perfect anyway. So it's like, it doesn't really matter who plays.
Right.
I'm kind of old school. I like to try to get people, you know, to play their parts. And then if there's anything like kind of minor I can do just to help it, like, okay, but like, I'm not going to just, you know, make it perfect for the sake of perfect. And I'm not going to, like, especially if they're not that, you know, if they're really close to, if they're like at 98%, okay, I'll take it to 100% because
right.
you might as well, but you don't even really need to. But so, you know, as long as I'm not doing a lot of that, as long as the guy can sing, as long as the drummer can drum,
right.
I'm having a great time. It's just,
right.
you know, I just kind of sit back and help people to, like, you know, not, the main thing is just standing out, getting out of their way and letting them kind of decide what they want to do. You know,
right.
it's their music.
Right.
If I keep telling everybody the same ideas that I have for every record, then I end up making the same record over and over. So
right.
to me, the fun part is just to kind of guide the ship. You know what I mean? Like, let
right.
them drive it. Let them pick the destination and let me help them get them there in a way that, like, both sonically works and is interesting, and at the same time is kind of still their ideas.
Sure. Now, have you ever been put in a position by, like, a label or even the band themselves of, you know, like, taking them, maybe they're, like, at a 60 of being good or not, but they want you to make them 100? Do you ever get put in that position, and if so, how do you handle that?
I can't necessarily think of a scenario in which that's happened, like any, like some sort of outside influence, like a manager or like A&R dude or anything like that. I haven't encountered that yet. In most cases, if the band is good enough and they're on a label, chances are they're probably decent enough to come into a studio and properly play their stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, with just conventional, like, you know, like try again techniques, I usually can get people to kind of do it in a way, you know, that I think still has integrity, but at the same time, you know, sounds really, really, like, tight, and, you know, whatever it is that we need for that part. I mean, honestly, in most scenarios, people can't, they don't hear the difference between something that's 100% perfect and, like, 75% perfect.
Right.
So as long as we're in that upper, you know, quarter, per, you know, 25% near the top, you know, I'm happy with it, and I think most people would be anyway. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I could go on and on about it. Like,
right.
The artist gets so worried usually about what's happening in that moment, they don't realize that they're like, they're trying, you know, they're building a ladder, and they're so worried about every single rung of the ladder. But ultimately, the ladder's job is to take them upward.
Right.
You know, and so it's like you have to kind of remember your record isn't necessarily, you know, you're not making like the world's greatest ladder. You're making a ladder.
Right.
Make it work for you. Make it your ladder. You know. That's a very strange analogy, I know.
No, that makes perfect sense. And obviously, you being an artist yourself, I would assume that helps them when they're working with you, and you can kind of explain that scenario to them as well.
Yeah, I got all kinds of little quips and tips. You know, I'm sure that, like, you know, if you were somehow to tally them up, you know, record by record, I'd probably say the same things, you know, more times than I'm ever comfortable with knowing, you know what I mean?
Right.
But again, like, you know, my job, part of my job, you know, is obviously like from a technical point of view, it's like I have to, you know, record this sound, and I need to understand sound and the physics of sound. And then another part is just enabling people to perform and be creative. And you know, you kind of have to, I use the word social engineering sometimes, but I have to socially engineer people to produce the best results they can. And sometimes that's, you know, being a little firm with them, and other times it's being, you know, really laid back and funny and comfortable, you know, make it like a comfortable environment, make it seem like they're not spending money, you know?
Right.
And I do other things, you know, to kind of like help with that, make sure like all the money's taken care of before the record. You know, you know, so it's like the bill is paid, now let's eat the meal kind of
right,
thing.
Right, exactly.
Know?
Yeah, I understand that. Obviously, you've been an artist yourself. You've been in a lot of excellent bands, Animal Chin, The Stereo, Let Go. No problem. As an artist, have there been any lessons that you've learned along the way?
Oh, God. Probably. I'm sure somebody learned them. I'm not sure I did. You know, I don't know. I think the main thing the main thing that I take away from the music business is that if you're in it for money, you're in it for the wrong reasons, and B, you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've actually tracked a few local bands, and they, you know, bizarrely, you know, think they're like, oh yeah, we're getting in this, you know, because we want to get paid kind of thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, this is like the hardest job with the least amount of reward.
Right.
You know, if you really start taking it to the next level, you quit your job and you go on tour and do all that. It's fun. It's great. You know what I mean? But like,
right.
You know, goodbye, you know, financial security, you know?
Right.
So you just have to do it because you love it, you know, and any other reason is, you know, that's fine. But like, you know, you're never going to take it to another level with that kind of attitude, you know?
Right.
It just doesn't happen, you know? It just doesn't happen. I mean, it might, and, you know, there's an exception that always proves the rule, I'm sure, but, like, you know, the bands that make it are the bands that, like, first of all, have something musical to offer.
Right.
And B, can make a connection with an audience in some way, whether it's through their music, through their show, through their website, whatever it is. For some reason, there's a connection made with an audience, and that's how it works.
Right.
And that's the only way it works, and that's the only way it will work. It's the only way it will last, you know? I mean, there might be kind of flash-in-the-pan moments for people, but, you know, the people that last are the people that have that connection with, you know, Jimmy Eat World. They've been, you know, they've been up and down over the years, but, like, they, you know, their fans are rabid, you know?
Right.
And it's because they make that connection. And, like, it always will be that way.
Right.
Look at Less Than Jake. Less Than Jake is a perfect example. Like, their kind of music has gone, like, into, like, you know, like, what is considered wrong to play, you
right.
know? And yet that band lands on their feet every time. I mean, like, at the point when ska was, like, you know, you wouldn't want to be caught dead playing ska, they were, like, the most popular they ever were. They were, like, on TRL and all that shit,
right,
you know?
Right,
I mean, give me a break. Like, how does that band do it? I mean, that band obviously has, like, sorcery involved, you know?
And, of course, well, now thinking of Less Than Jake, they've taken over, they've separated themselves from the major label, now have their own label to put out their own records, so they're definitely taking complete control of their future.
That goes back to what I'm talking about. Like that band can do anything they want, but at the end of the day, it's always about like their connection with their audience and their fans, and you know their fans appreciate that and they stay loyal and true to the band because of that. So
Right. Everything
they do is kind of geared towards, you know, what's best for them and their fan base. So.
Right.
Kudos to them, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, thinking of ska, obviously Animal Chin was a good punk ska outfit there. Do you still listen to ska at all? You can admit that here. We play ska on this show. You can admit that.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird question to ask, but what kind of music I listen to, just because
right.
I'm constantly, like, recording bands,
right.
And a lot of times when I get to reach the end of the day in which I could, like, listen to something, you know, for enjoyment,
right.
I kind of don't want to listen to music, you know what I mean? Like, I work pretty long days, and it's loud music all day long. But, you know, I think that from that era, the stuff that I kind of still sticks with me is probably, like, number one would probably be, like, Madness.
Sure.
You know, Fishbone, Operation Ivy. Like, I really liked The Selector. I didn't like all their stuff, but, like, they had, you know, like, they're one of those bands where it's, like, they had a few songs that I was just like, oh, my God, you know? Like,
right.
3 Minute Hero, oh, my God. What,
right.
That's an amazing song, you
right.
know?
Right.
So, I'm still appreciative of it, and I go through, like, little spurts, you know what I mean? But
sure.
I don't have any sort of alliance to any kind of music that I just, you know, honestly, the stuff that I listen to mostly nowadays is, like, embarrassing music. I love Dolly Parton and stuff like that.
Right.
Really strange things, so.
Definitely mix it up there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, thinking about we talked about it a little bit a minute ago, but thinking about where the music industry is right now, obviously CD sales are down, but you're seeing, you know, download sales, of course, going up, and vinyl making a comeback going up. You see, you know, these 360 deals coming out with artists nowadays. If you were if you kind of had a crystal ball out there, what would you see as the future for independent musicians out there looking forward?
God.
I know, that's a big question.
It's hard to say. I think there's kind of this feeling right now that, like, the music business is going to crumble and then we're going to be left with this, like, utopia, you know, like, where there's no music business and artists all sell their stuff independently via whatever electronic means. I kind of don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in the sense that we're hoping. I think at some point the other shoe is going to drop and you know, big business, big music business is going to, like, get it and realize that they can't hold on to their antiquated, you know, model for the music business any longer. And they will get on board, but when they do, it'll only be because someone has come up with something that everyone finally just gives into and is comfortable with. You know what I mean? It's like the music business will change when it's on the music business's terms.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think it'll be an improvement from what's happening right now, this kind of, like, this in-denial thing that everything's, you know,
right.
kind of, like, it's this, like, ooze of just, like, uncertainty of, like, well, what's the best, you know, I mean, a lot of the bands that I record now, like, young bands and stuff, they pay, and, you know, they record with me, they produce their own, you know, they manufacture their own CDs, and then they give them away.
Right.
You know? Like, they'll have a CD release show, and, like, it's $10 to get in, and you get a free CD, and then, basically, you just go and see their band, and you get their CD for free. Their hope is just that you get into the band and come see them, you know?
Right.
And then they sell their T-shirts to you or something like that, you know? The economics are really rough.
Right.
For anybody who's, like, not kind of, like, you know, making it happen, got tour dates, have, like, a few hundred people coming to see them all the time, the economics are rough.
Right.
You know, it's a lot more rough than it used to be. Not to mention there's, like, 10,000 more bands for every square inch of earth than there was like 5 years ago, you know?
Right. And I think it's harder to tour now.
I don't know. The crystal ball question, I don't know. It's probably going to be something like, you know, bands independently distributing their stuff and, you know, somehow aligning themselves with, like, a certain brand of electronic distributor that becomes, like, their label or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
I think this is for smarter people to decide.
Right. No, and I definitely understand that. Obviously, you've been real busy lately with Room Sound and doing a lot of producing and things. Do you have any plans to step back out in front of the mic and record with Let Go anytime soon?
Probably. I don't know. If we do anything, it's going to be kind of almost kind of in the fashion that I described, where we're just going to record it and give it away. I'm the youngest guy in our band at this point, and I'm like, 33 or something like that.
Right.
Am I 33? Yeah, I'm 33. Too old to remember. And so we're kind of, I think we're a little too old to be like, chasing around the country, this, that, and the other. I toured for like 14 years or something like that. So I'm it's time for me to kind of let other kids do it, and let them have all the fun. But, having said that, as soon as I'm done talking to you, I'm going to go to band practice. I'm going to have dinner and then go to band practice. So
right. We
have our first show of the year coming up. It's only halfway through the year. We got our first show. But we're excited about that. We've got some new, we actually do have some new stuff that we're going to debut, and, we'll just kind of see. Like, it would be really fun if, we got into this, into my home studio again and, started tracking some stuff. I just don't know when it's going to happen, but
sure.
It will happen.
Yeah, well, that'll be awesome when it does, and we'll definitely look forward to that.
Cool. Thank you.
Jamie, any future projects you want to plug or any final thoughts you want to give to us?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just want everybody to go check out the Love Blisters record when it comes out, and go check out the Werewolf record when it comes out. I'm supposed to start mixing it tomorrow, so.
Awesome.
It's still in the works. And the Punchline record, that's like the best record they've made, I think. It's really the best batch of songs they've created. So, they're not on Fueled by Ramen any longer. They're going to kind of do something independent, I think, or maybe it'll come out a label. I'm not sure. But, man, this record needs to be heard, so.
Okay. Well, Jamie Wolford, thank you so much for joining me here today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank Jamie for taking the time out to chat with me. Be sure to check out all of his bands, because, quite frankly, he is one of the best voices in rock. Up next is his current Tempe, Arizona-based band, Let Go. From their self-titled Militia Group album, here is Spotlights.
I got a feel. That I can't explain. I gotta meet the guy that does this alone. I wanna feel those things that left unattained. I wanna peel away the fringe from the soul.
Cause it only takes a second. sound so fine.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was The Figs with Regional Hits, which came off of their 2006 album, Follow Gene Through the Sea. I had a chance to catch the fellas last year at the Fest in Gainesville, and they put on quite a set. If you get a chance to see them live, you should definitely check them out. Up next is our last song for this episode, and it comes from my all-time favorites, Less Than Jake. Last month, they released their 7th studio album called GNVFLA. Here's a track from it. This is Does the Lion City Still Roar?
Faces and junky eyes. The streets won't sleep tonight. A lullaby for the half alive. The city swings and whines to the double crime of drugs and hard times. Lion City sirens sing the night away, night away. Lion City sirens sing the night away. The city feels like a game. While the papa feet crack on sidewalks, the haves and the have-nots fade to backdrops of drums and gunshots. Lion City sirens sing the night away, night away. Lion City sirens sing the night away. There's an overdose on it, and he does the cocaine shake. Cause the Lion City sirens sing the night away. Feels like a powder keg.
that's all for this 10th episode of Rocket Fuel. Be sure to check out our next episode where I'll review the new Living with Lions album and talk to Dave from The Loved Ones. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Send any requests or comments to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Take it easy, and thanks for listening.